Erev Shabbos, Parashas Vayishlach, Tavshin Ayin. We know from this parasha of Yaakov's meeting with Esav after a very long hiatus of 22 years, and Esav is coming towards him, the Arba Meyos Ish Imay, an army of 400 men. And as Ramban learns, he was coming to kill out Yaakov and his whole family because his anger was still very deep-seated in him, still vented in him. It didn't wane over the passing of time. That's what Ramban tells us. But very famously, we know that Yaakov prepared himself for three things: for Dairon, sending gifts; Tefillah, davening to Hashem; and Milchama, preparing strategy in case he would have to fight, in case he would have to run away. Prepared himself with strategy. And this is one of the sources we have from the Avoseinu, from the Avos, from the forefathers, of our obligation, our requirement to put in our effort into anything we do. Hishtadlus. I think it behooves us, if this is one of the sources where we learn that indeed we have to put in an effort into anything we do, we should understand the proper perspective in it. And from Yaakov Avinu himself. Because we mentioned a few weeks ago, and whenever we're dealing with Hishtadlus, the Mesilas Yesharim and Perikov Aleph told us, Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Yuma, Ein Adam Negea Bamuchan Lachaveiroi Afilu Kimeloi Nima. Nobody can take away what belongs to anybody else, even a hair's breadth. In other words, no one can encroach on any territory that someone else is supposed to have. No one can take away anything that I'm supposed to get. No deal won't happen. If Hashem wants it to happen, it will happen. And if we believe that, Mesilas Yesharim says, then we also understand, Loi hashehishtadlus hu hamoyel. Even though we're obligated to put in any effort in what we do, Loi hashehishtadlus hu hamoyel, it's not the effort which is helping out. It's not the effort which is bringing the success. Ela shehishtadlus mukhrach. We're obligated to do it. It's necessary to do it. But v'kivin sheishtadol, once a person has put an effort, yosi dechevosei, he has already fulfilled his requirement, and then there's already makayim lebircha shemayim shetishra alav. Then there's already a place where the bracha could go on that ishtadlus. Ve'nitzar levalas yamav becharitzav ishtadlus, but he doesn't have to spend all his time during that doing that ishtadlus. Where do we see this from the parsha? It's because the Ramban points out, is the Ramban in the end of Pasuk Ches, the Ramban learns the episode, what happened was, even though Yaakov Avinu prepared all of his messengers, and he said, listen, this is what you say, and he gave him instructions, clear instructions. Vayitzav Vayisim Lamer says, this is what you should say. Koy Yisemer La'adayni La'isav. Koy Omer Avdecho Yaakov Im Lovan Gar Divoy Charadota. Vayili Shavar Chamar. A whole long list of a proclamation that he should say to Esav when they meet up with him. And then as well, he sent these gifts. Ramban says, in my opinion, Vanir Be'enai, that Esav never let in the messengers of Yaakov Avinu. He didn't go directly to see Esav, but if you wanted to get an appointment with him, so you would speak to one of his advisors, one of the guards at the door, you know, could I get an allowance in to see Mr. Esav? And he says, I'm not interested in seeing them. So the Ramban says in the end, he never even let him in. That means none of the message the Yaakov sent ever got to Esav's ears. He never let him even come in. So that means Esav never heard all of Yaakov's pacification that he was going to try. Law would listen. Im lavangarti, voicharoto. Never heard any of that. And that's why Ramban says when they came back to him, vayashuvu amalachim, they says, oh, he is still evrosei shmura. His anger is still burning up inside of him. As a matter of fact, he doesn't want to see him. Oh, Yaakov Avinu's messengers, I don't want to see them. Don't give them an appointment. And that's where they came back to Yaakov, and they said, Bonu alachicha el Esav. He didn't tell us any. Didn't tell us anything. He didn't allow us in. Vegam hoylech legroscha. And we also, but we surveyed the camp, and we see that he's preparing for war. That's what they came back. So indeed, all of the efforts that Yaakov Avinu put in, he never got the message across to Esav. He sent these gifts. When he finally met up with him, he bowed to him as if to say, you're the master, I haven't been superior over you. And Ramban says, B'saif, when Esav saw all of the cover that was given to him from Yaakov, and that he lowered himself before him, and he bowed down 7 times, Nichmaru Rachamov, he all of a sudden got merciful. And Ramban says, V'isnachem bozeh, and with this, he had a change of heart. He had a change of heart. He didn't allow them in. He's just as angry as before. He's coming with an army to kill him because Yaakov Avinu gives him a few shekel. And Yaakov Avinu bows down and shows, oh, you are the, you know, long live the king. Oh, all of a sudden, everything's changed. Says the Ramban, you know how we have to understand it? One line. Ki halavavois l'Hashem heima. Because the hearts belong to Hashem. L'chol asher yachpoitz yate oisam. However, he wants to turn them, he does. Whatever Hashem's desire is to turn the person's heart, that's what he does. Which again, we see this point, that the hishtadlus is not what proves successful, but it's halavavois l'Hashem heima. The hearts are in the hands of Hashem. However, he wants to turn them and manipulate them and twist them, that's how it will be. And this certainly we can understand was Yaakov Avinu's perspective too. The beginning of the parasha, the message that he did want to send and get across was like this. This is what you should say to Esav. Koy amrcha abducha Yaakov im lovan garti. I lived with lovan. Vayili shorvach amor. And I have oxen and donkeys. What is the pshat in these two messages? So Rashi tells us, im lovan garti, meaning, don't think I became anyone chashuv. Okay, the last 20-some-odd years I lived in my shver's house. He says, so you think I became chashuv over there? No, I wasn't. I was a worker. Didn't become a very rich man. This is what he's telling Esav. Dover Acher Rashi has another pshat. Imlov angarti, v'taryag mitzvah shamarti, v'loy lomadati m'maisav aroim. Everybody knows this Rashi. Garti is the same letters as Taryag. If you unscramble them, you can get Taryag. So the kashya is like this. Esav was such a Talmud Chacham. Tell them, Imlov angarti. Esav, Imlov angarti. Ah, garti! He means Taryag. He means to tell me that he kept Taryag mitzvahs. He's such a Chacham, Esav, he would figure all this out on his own. And even if he would figure it out, does he care? He cares that Yaakov has kept all the mitzvahs? Next pasuk, Vahili Shor v'chamar. Rashi, he says, all I have is, you know, a shor v'chamar. I don't have much. My father gave me this bracha of material wealth from great fields and produce, but you should know it wasn't fulfilled. The Medrash says, Vahili Shor v'chamar, shor zu Yosef, chamar zu Yisachar. What's he saying? I have two little boys from the Shvatim. Yosef was approximately 8 years old. Yisachar maybe a little older. He said, but I have these two boys, and they're going to be big Talmid Chacham when they get older. So Esav cares about that. So says the Ber Yosef, what is Yaakov Avinu doing over here? Yaakov Avinu, together with his hishtadlus of trying to appease Esav, this is part of his tefillah. Yaakov Avinu combined his hishtadlus, his effort, together with his tefillah. He's telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Lavan Garti. I live with Lavan V'tarik Mitzvah Shamarti. Hashem, that should be a good schus for me. Shor V'chamar, Hashem, you know and I see in the future what these two of my children will be. The Torah that they will learn in the future Yosef and Yisachar, and that Torah should be the Kol Yaakov, which should go against the Yadayim Yidei Esav. This is what he was telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's because Yaakov Avinu understood this principle well. He understood that his effort is merely to cover up that it shouldn't be a blatant miracle. His effort was no more than, I'm doing my part, which I have to do. But the mishtadlus loy hamoyel, the mishtadlus is not what will bring any success for a person. It's rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the hearts are in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The litmus test to see how well this balance goes in a person is really how much, as there's coined by my Rebbe, is like this: how much effort does he put into his faith, and how much faith does he put into his effort? Does he put more faith in the effort that he could be successful, and how much he plans out his ishtadlus, or does he put more effort into increasing and improving his faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? If we give a simple mashal, the mashal could be like this. I'm making an appointment with somebody because I want to buy a lot of his goods, and if he'll give me a good deal and I get all these goods, I'll be able to sell them off somewhere else for cheap, for buy them cheap and sell them at a greater price. So I make an appointment, and this person comes. There's a whole warehouse of stuff over there. The guy comes with his schlepper, you know, his porter, the guy who will then schlep all the stuff and put it into my truck. So you imagine the person comes, and he sees the schlepper over there, and the guy with the muscles who's going to load all the skids onto my truck. And I go over to the person, and I start being nice to him, and I bring him a coffee. I'm talking to him. How are you? How's your family? Let me hear about you. And I slip him a few dollars there. And meanwhile, the owner of the whole warehouse, he's looking at this. What's going on? Why isn't he talking to me? You know, if he wants the deal to happen, he has to talk to me. Okay. Not the schlepper who's going to put the stuff. If I decide to go ahead with the deal, then I say, all right, Mr. Schlepper, go put the stuff in the truck. Instead of talking to the balabas over here, he's talking to the schlepper. He's using all his bribes and all his effort and all his time. He's talking to the schlepper. And the balabas is sitting there. What's the guy? He has his priorities mixed up. And sometimes that's what we do. We have to try to talk to somebody. Will we get this deal? Will he do this favor to me? Will he sell me this product? Will he hire me? And I'm spending all of my effort talking to this guy, and Hashem is sitting there at the side. He said, the guy's talking to the schlepper. The guy's talking to the one who, if I decide the deal will go through, boom, I'll tell this guy, I'll put it into his heart. All right, put this stuff on the truck. If I tell this guy to make the deal go through, then it will go through. But to spend all the effort talking to the guy sitting across the table instead of talking to me, Hashem says, does he understand who's in charge over here? Are you talking to the balabas or are you talking to the porter? And of course, the difference, does a person have his priorities correct? The difference is, how much time does he spend in his tefillah, or how much time does he spend preparing for the deal? Preparing for the meeting. Famous Gemara in Shabbos, and Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. B'shoah shemachnisim adam ledin, when they bring a person after 120 to the final judgment. There are a few questions that they ask him. First question is, Nosato v'nosato be'emuna. Loosely translated, did you deal honestly in business? Nosato v'nosato, did you have that back and forth, that give or take, that transaction, buying and selling, did you do that honestly? But there's another way we could explain this Gemara. Did you do all of your business deals? Not only business, all of your interactions with people in trying to give and take and get favors and ask, was that done with the understanding of emuna? Was that done with the proper emuna? Therefore, how much effort will I put into that? And that's why the next question, kavati in l'teira. In other words, if one did have emuna, that all of the nasata v'nasata, all the masa matan that he has is only dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then indeed he'll set aside enough time for Torah, he'll set aside enough time for tefillah. In Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef, "Dani nosati lecha Shechem achar alachecha." Yaakov says that I will give you an extra city. You have an extra portion for your inheritance, and you will get the city of Shechem. Ashelo kachti miyad ha'emeiri, which I won from the Emirites. Bicharbi uvikashti, I won it through a battle. Bicharbi with my sword, uvikashti and with my bow. Says the Gemara in Baba Basra, Kufchov Gimel Amid Aleph. Bichi bicharba uvikashti lokach. Well, you think he won this city because his sword and his bow? David HaMelech already said in Tehillim, "Ki loy bikashti evtach." I don't trust on my bow. V'charbi loy toshiyeni. Not my sword that's going to bring me my salvation. See, you think Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef, you should know, I won this fair and square with this great strength with my sword and my bow. V'charbi v'kashti. Says the Gemara, you think that's what Yaakov Avinu meant? Elo charbi zu tefila, kashti zu bakosha. When he meant to say, "Becharbikash," I won this with my tefillah, I won this with my bakosha, through my prayer and through my supplication, as the Targum famously says over there in that pasuk, "Betzlusi v'vuusi." I won it with my tefillah, my supplication. So the kasha is, if that's what he meant, why did he say that? If you meant that I got it with my tefillah, so say I got it with my tefillah. So says the Mashkiach like this. It's not just a metaphor. Meaning, the sword refers to the tefillah. Says, no, indeed, Yaakov Avinu was saying like this. Of course I went out to war. Of course I picked up a sword. Of course I shot my arrows. But Yaakov Avinu was saying, but that wasn't my success. But he's telling Yosef what the Gemara means is, of course, he says, I did go out and fight a war. And I did pick up a sword and did shoot my arrows. But you know really what was successful over here? It was B'tzlusi V'vuusi. It was my prayer, and it was my Bakasha Tashem. That's really what proved successful. So this was Yaakov Avinu's perspective in all of the Ishtadlus that he did. It's perhaps a known Yisayid. It's a known concept that we should keep in mind. But it's an important one. When one learns this parsha, I think, even though this wasn't as more of a musash moves than learning up pshat in the psukim here. But nonetheless, this is really, we see this is Yaakov's perspective throughout. From the first time that he encountered Esav and the shtadlus that he did, to the end of his life when he's giving the brachas to Yosef HaTzadik. He says, everything I do, I put in my effort, I put more effort into my tefillah, because that's what really was successful. I talk directly to the balabas, I don't talk to the schlepper. If we have this perspective, like the Chofetz Chaim says, a person tries to make a deal with someone. Tries to make a deal with someone. And the person says no. If his perspective was that all he's doing is putting in some effort, so he'll say to himself like this, I'm trying to... I'll tell you from my line of work. My line of work, I try to make deals with people. I try to give them the opportunity to get the great schus of supporting the Torah and the institution over here. So you go to somebody, he asks you to make a donation. Chofetz Chaim says, if he says no, so it's like the mashal to be, the attitude and the outlook is, the mashal is as follows. You're looking for somebody in shul. A lot of people in shul. And you're looking for somebody whose name is Reuven. And you look, you go to somebody, say, I think that guy is Reuven. It just seems to me, this guy looks like he's the guy I'm looking for. He's Mr. Reuven. You go over to him, he says, ah, Mr. Reuven. Said, no, my name is Shimon. So, the Chofetz Chaim said, you get upset at this guy? Ah, I don't believe it. I thought you were Reuven. You tell me you're not Reuven? You're Shimon? I can't believe it. You get upset at the person? No, you thought he was Reuven. He's not, he's Shimon. Okay, let me go look for Reuven. Chofetz Chaim said, you try to make a deal with him. You thought this guy was going to be the one that Hashem would prove successful. He would make the deal. He would be, give the donation. It's not. You thought he was Reuven. He's not. He's Shimon. Oh, I'm sorry. You're not the right one. I'll go on to the next person. I thought... Kolalavavois... Biyad Hashem l'chol ha-shayach b'siyat ha-oysam. And we'll end with the most beautiful vort that I ever heard in this week's parsha, perhaps in all of Sefer Bereishis. Maybe even in all of Chamisha Chumsha, but I'm not sure. Maybe I don't remember all the ones that I heard. Yaakov fights with the angel. Vayomer lo, and he says, Lo Yaakov, Yayomer oid shimcha, Kiyim Yisrael, your name will be changed to Yisrael. Our name is Yisrael. Why? Because we know, because Yaakov fought with the angel, and he was successful. Because you fought with angels and with people and you were successful. Freight the Belzer Rebbe, then what should our name be? Our name should be with some construct of the word Vatuchol. And we were successful. The name Yisrael comes from the word Sarisa, because you fought with. If we're trying to depict what happened over here, the name should be Vatuchol. The name should be, and we were successful. The teretz is that success doesn't depend on us. The effort that we put in, that's what we have to do. And the one who has the proper emunah knows that tuchel has nothing to do with me. The success has nothing to do with me. What has to do with me? How much effort I put into my faith. We're Sarisa, we're Yisrael. Yisrael, the name Yisrael is, I put in my effort. The outcome is all entirely up to Rabbeinu Shlomo. So we don't call ourselves Vatuchel, we call ourselves Yisrael. A good job.